Renee Higgins.
Hello and welcome to Czech Books. Many people know the standard quiz question about who introduced the word robot into the English language, the answer being the famous Czech author Karel Čapek. Čapek wrote in the first half of the 20th century and, amongst many other things, can be considered to be the father of Czech science fiction. Fantasy and science fiction are extremely popular in the Czech Republic nowadays, and I was interested to find out more about the whole of the sci-fi world. So I met with a translator, Jan Vaněk Jr., a very active member of the sci-fi fandom, and asked him about the development of Czech science fiction since the days of Čapek.
Čapek may not have been the founder of Czech science fiction, but he certainly influenced it the most, or one branch of it. Čapek was a reader and acquaintance of Herbert George Wells, so his science fiction was Wellesian in kind. It was philosophical speculations intimately connected with serious mainstream literature. On the other hand, you may call the other pole Vernian, that is adventures or even popularizing science, which is even more pronounced in American science fiction. That was through various historical events, not always such a direct influence on Czech science fiction elsewhere. Probably the biggest influence of Čapek, which remains to this day or until recent times, was the concept we call it of small Czech man. Čapek was interested in every man, not a heroical figure, but an ordinary person living his ordinary everyday life and how history is influencing him. And this has turned out to be a strong topic in Czech science fiction.
It's also a feature of other branches of Czech literature too, if you think of Švejk, for example.
Yes, certainly.
After Čapek's day, how, for example, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, did Czech science fiction develop?
There were several historical upheavals which influenced it strongly and not positively always, almost never positively, I must say. First, there was Second World War and then the communist takeover, so there was very little imported from the West. Then the next important figure in Czech science fiction, Josef Nesvadba, emerged. It is lesser known, but Nesvadba was an Anglophile just as well as Čapek. He graduated from English college, and when he was quite young, he translated Coleridge's Rime of Ancient Mariner. But then he had to decide what to write about if he didn't want to lie and praise Communist Party. So it turned out that science fiction was a very good way out. It could be used as a metaphor or allegory for talking about the essence of the regime without being caught up and censored. And this remained until the 80s.
I'd like to now just read a short extract from one of Nesvadba's more famous short stories. A number of his short stories have been translated into English, and this is one called Inventor of His Own Undoing. And I think you can see in this exactly what you've been talking about, this underhand or subversive critique of the communist regime. In this story, the hero invents a gadget that enables the complete automation of work, but his dream of a golden age turns into a nightmare. He goes to a shop on Wenceslas Square and tries to buy a necklace for his girlfriend. When he wanted to pay, they were almost embarrassed. "What's the matter?" he said. "Surely you're not giving jewellery away free too." The older woman took him by the hand and, lifting the curtain at the back of the shop, showed him about 20 people crowded into the little workshop behind. "People come here from all over the place, turners, welders, precision mechanics. This seems the craft of their dreams. They're provided for so they can work for nothing. And look at the lovely things they make. We've got all the gold we want. It's a cheap metal now." He understood. Research work, the craft, sport, that was what everybody had turned to now. And they were glad of the chance to work, because there's nothing worse than boredom in the world. As he went back to the airfield, the newsboys were shouting the latest news. He bought a paper more out of habit than interest. Glancing at the headlines, he almost fainted. Money abolished. His bank account was worthless. Money had been abolished. He was an ordinary man again, the most insignificant of idlers. So fandom, which is the name given to the whole community of science fiction fans, fandom was a place of semi-dissidence where people could express themselves a little more freely?
Provided they did so metaphorically as well. Fandom in Czechoslovakia emerged at the end of 70s, and it was somewhat different, or rather different from what it is today, or how fandom usually looked in the West or how it looks in the world everywhere today. Because, first of all, it became kind of a replacement activity. A lot of clever and active people who couldn't found any other expressions gravitated to fandom. So Czechoslovak fandom of the 80s was, as the Finnish word goes, very serkon, serious and constructive. There wasn't much goofing around, although there wasn't so much nerdiness, which is usually associated with science fiction fans.
So do you think the nerdiness exists more now than it did in the 80s?
Certainly.
One aspect of this relatively maybe free space was a number of women writing science fiction. I'd like to read now an extract from the work of one of the better known of the younger generation of women writers, Vilma Kadlečková. And this is called Cinderella or Longing for Blood. This extract describes the dramatic visit of the protagonist to her sister. I managed to cross the moor by a more or less visible path and warily approached her stone cottage. I peered through the open leather flap of the door. Hilda squatted sullenly in darkness, leaning against a damp granite wall stained with nitre. Our eyes met, and within her mind I saw a bottomless emptiness. At the sudden unexpected sight of me, a chasm of hunger split her open like an earthquake. I knew instantly that I should never have come to see Hilda in her lair in the outside world. It was very dangerous. It was a terrible mistake. Her fanged mouth snapped open with a screech of hatred, and she sprang on me. We wrestled on the muddy floor, Hilda going for my throat. The transformation had made her much stronger than I realized. She was crushing me with terrific blows of her bony knees and winged elbows. I could not tear loose. Finally, I wrenched my left hand free and jammed it into Hilda's mouth. Her jaws clamped shut, and I heard more than felt the cracking of my own crushed bones. Hilda fell limply to the earth, flopping, glutted. It was very rich blood. She was gagging with ecstasy. Vampires were almost defenseless when they fed. Pain rose up in my arm like a fiery wall as I struggled to shriek the syllables of a spell of binding. The pain overwhelmed me for a moment, but when I came to, Hilda was lying there motionless. I pried her jaws apart and freed my trapped and bleeding hand. I worked on my bleeding hand for an hour, long enough to knit the flesh and bones, if not my other, sadder wounds. Then I let it be and turned to Hilda. She would sleep for centuries. And this story has actually been published in English, and I'll make the details available on the website. Vilma writes maybe in the border between science fiction and fantasy. Would it be true to say that fantasy has become more and more popular in these past years?
Yes, certainly. It is the same development as everywhere. Fantasy lends itself more easily to escapism, I would say. And of course, there was stronger pressure on science fiction as a vehicle of popularizing science under the communist regime, which considered itself supremely scientific. So of course, when it fell and people could start publishing and reading whatever they were interested in, there was a big boom of fantasy, which remains until this day.
What are the trends within science fiction now, post-1989?
There is a kind of backlash against Čapek's tradition I mentioned before. Now the pendulum swings the other way, and besides fantasy, there is interest in straightforward adventure science fiction, military science fiction even, and stories which are just pure entertainment and are not so deeply interested in the human condition.
So is there any particular quality about Czech science fiction that you would say was specifically Czech?
Well, it may be playfulness. There is a strong tradition of humorous science fiction, which is still thriving.
And who is the most popular author?
Right now, it is certainly Jiří Kulhánek. Kulhánek could be called Quentin Tarantino of Czech science fiction. He writes action-packed yarns with a lot of splattered blood, but much postmodern irony and wisecracks in it. He doesn't take himself too seriously, and he's very popular for it.
And unfortunately, I think he hasn't yet been translated into English.
No. There isn't much interest in English language publishing world in importing science fiction from small countries. That is understandable in a way, but he and a fan of his work right now on English translation of his greatest or most important book, and we may see it published in a couple of years.
And what is this book about?
Well, it is about vampires and other superhuman race, and a hero who happens to be a shy writer at the day, but a very well-trained, vigilant fighting crime during the night.
that's something that we can look forward to. A hard-working writer by day and vigilante vampire by night.
He doesn't start as a vampire, but he gets turned into a vampire later, and it helps him a lot in his fight against other vampires and their minions and masters.
Clearly, there is a huge interest in science fiction in the Czech Republic. Whenever I go into any bookshop, there are shelves and shelves and shelves of various genres of science fiction, speculative fiction. And I know that there's also a great tradition of meetings and conferences, conventions. Which is the most important of these gatherings?
Yes, Czech National Con is called Parkon, from the city of Pardubice, where several first years were held. This year it's going to take place on the last weekend of August in Plzeň of the Pilsner Urpel beer fame. It's going to be a bigger occasion because we are going to get several foreign English and American guests of honor, and a part of program will be in English. The Czech science fiction fandom has had some problems with, let's say, cocooning, closing into itself, just because it's thriving so well from its own sources. It doesn't have to look abroad much and grow connections to other countries, so this might show a change in this.
So this may mean not only the Czech science fiction community looking outwards, but maybe more interest from abroad in the very interesting writers who are writing today in the Czech Republic.
Well, there's always the problem of translation, so we can't expect very much, I'm afraid.
It's not a very hopeful note on which to end.
It is a realistic point.
Thank you very, very much, Jan, for giving us this overview and information about what's happening on the Czech science fiction scene, and I suppose we can only speculate what the future will bring. Thank you.
It was a pleasure, but I hope that the future will bring some listeners to the Plzeň Parkon, where I may be able to talk about Czech science fiction in more detail.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.